Our next speaker is Felix Kramer. I've had a chance to meet Felix actually several years ago. I met very briefly. The last November out in California with a meeting with the Volt people and several folks in California who were very passionate about this subject. At the end of the day, Felix got up and gave what, and Rob Peterson, I don't think Rob's in the room, and I agreed, was the most amazing speech we had ever heard. We talked about this briefly after, but this was right at the stage, I think it was the day that the big three chief executives were on Capitol Hill, and the one that went so bad, if you remember. Felix got up in this meeting, and being a California guy, being someone who's been passionate about the environment for a long time, got up and gave a speech that was just stunningly thoughtful in why we need our automotive industry to succeed, to get to this point. And Rob and I looked at each other and said, yeah, he gets the PEV part, but he also gets the importance of the industry as a whole. Our next speaker is Felix Kramer from Cal Cars Initiative.
Thanks a lot. Is this on?
Yep.
Okay. So I want to talk about what we've learned from conversions and what they tell us about future consumer demand. 7 years ago, I founded CalCars.org to put plug-in hybrids on the map. From 2002 to 2005, all we heard was nobody's interested. Nobody wants to plug in. There's no business case. There's no benefits. And the car makers will never go for it. Andy Frank, meanwhile, did the first retrofits, mostly on big GM vehicles. And almost 5 years ago, we brought the first Prius conversion to Detroit to show to an automotive reporter. On the way back, we stopped at the Center for Automotive Research to show them a plug-in hybrid. After us, hundreds of Prius conversions and Ford Escape conversions gave a glimpse of the future to a lot of important, critical people, some journalists, think tank people, C-level executives, elected officials. Those vehicles enabled us to communicate three powerful slogans that became kind of memes. 100 plus miles per gallon with the footnote plus a penny or two a mile of electricity. Good enough to get started, the technologies we have now, good enough to get started. And cleaner, cheaper, domestic as a way of describing the benefits of electricity compared to gasoline. And then they also enabled us to show this and get a laugh from people saying, you know, every alternative fuel source needs a new infrastructure, new technology. This connects us to today's infrastructure. And that was a really very powerful message. So with the help of a very broad coalition that began to form, most of those objections fell away in 2006 to 8. So we still face a lot of steps between here and successful commercialization. But today, for the first time, I'm taking this occasion to declare victory. Plug-in hybrids are coming. And we actually haven't had a chance. We're working so hard all the time to actually say, look what we've done. We've made this happen. We've made this amazing change. Now, before I go on to talk about the market, I want to talk about a major new development, which I think will become part of the next what comes next story. Having achieved our primary goals, we started to look at how long it takes new vehicles to penetrate into the market. It took hybrids 10 years to get to 1% of the fleet and 2% of new cars. If you take that and you multiply that by a highly optimistic 10 times factor, 15 years from now, we will still have a dribble of new plug-in vehicles in the market compared to 250 million cars in the United States and 900 million in the world. That means that during those 10 to 15 years, we won't get the petroleum benefit, reduction benefits we need. So that leads us to a new goal. We're pointing to a global business opportunity to fix the vehicles that are on the road today. Intel's former CEO, Andy Grove, likes to talk about big gas guzzlers, PSVs, pickups, SUVs, and vans as the market. And I'd add municipal and school buses and some other vehicles to that. And he's a big fan of this strategy. Well, there's a lot of skepticism about it. But we think it's possible to retrofit to safe, drivable, validated EVs or PHEVs, depending on the drive cycle and the technology, the construction of the vehicle, millions of vehicles. So we're launching a new campaign that's spotlighting a few prototypes from small startups. We're collecting endorsements and getting a lot of partners on board about this. We want this new effort to happen in 2 years instead of 7 years. I'm happy to talk about it, give you a flyer, and all the info about it is at calcrise.org. So back to the questions that we want to talk about here. 2010 is our real major unexplored frontier and our most critical year. The vehicles are coming this time. Not prototypes, not conversions, but real production cars. And they're going to come into a kind of twilight zone at an unusual intersection. On the one hand, you've got the public with its understanding, its conceptions and its misconceptions, its expectations and its hopes that somehow there's going to be some solution that's going to get us out of this problem, situation. And they'll bring all of those expectations to their encounters with multiple flavors of vehicles from small manufacturers and from large companies. So they're going to start seeing what plug-ins can deliver. And there's going to be some mismatch in their thinking. And we hope that they'll recalibrate their expectations in healthy and enthusiastic ways. But that's not guaranteed. Automakers and the broad community can take a lot of steps to influence this unpredictable journey. The actions and the communication strategies that we choose can significantly improve the chances of successful commercialization. So my predictions, I think the first vehicles will be gobbled up by early adopters. I think for a long time, car makers will sell as many as they can build. I think the early buyers are going to self-select based on the drive cycles and access to home or business charging. If 50% of the population has access to a plug right now, that's not a niche. That's a huge market, and we don't have to worry for a long time about, you know, where are people going to plug in. Plenty of people can start by plugging in. And millions of people are going to pay for features, just like they do for every kind of car. They'll pay for the green feature, the smart feature, the cool feature, the advanced technology feature, the prestige feature. And all of those features get communicated by positioning, by design, and by advertising. So how many people are we talking about? Let's take one example. There's an acronym LOHAS, the LOHAS community, Lifestyles of Health and Sustainability. It's a marketing category, and people estimate that over 50 million people in America, 25% of adults, are willing to pay more for products where they will get the features that appeal to the LOHAS mentality. That, again, is not a niche. Now, one caveat to all the predictions that we've been reading about, they are all based on BAU, business as usual. Business as usual, I don't think, is likely in the next couple years. It could come from bad news, or higher oil prices, international crises, supply disruptions. We could move at any point into a Pearl Harbor, post-Pearl Harbor situation where we say we've got to retool the whole country because we don't have guaranteed access to oil anymore. It could also come from positive steps like carbon credits and additional incentives on local levels. So now, I'm really encouraged that the car makers see as their allies, and this is in contrast to, in some cases in the past, not only the utilities, but also plug-in advocates, communities, and regional efforts like Project Get Ready. And I highly recommend you look at projectgetready.org. So it's now possible for car makers, the media, and advocates to use new communications tools to give voices to the future drivers who are going to become the first owners of plug-in cars. These customers and future customers can describe what they hope for. And when they start getting them, they can start saying what they like, what they'd like to see in version two, because we're talking about automotive software now to a great extent, and hardware, but a lot of it is version two can go right into their car someday in the future. So let's think of all those customers as a giant fan club and as a focus group. For the rollout in the next year, I think the guiding principle for all of us should be the ones that GM embraced when it announced the Volt: transparency and two-way communications at every stage. This year, just like those demonstrators' cars, those conversions for all those years, the cars are going to do us a big favor and give us the biggest boost yet. They give us the chance to personalize the experience and for people to communicate their own personal experiences. We can enlist every new driver as an advocate, at least for their families, their friends, and their neighbors and coworkers. But I expect, actually, many of them are going to jump in and become amateur evangelists to audiences who want to hear all about this. And I can't wait. Thank you.
Thank you.